Good morning. Well, Brother Mark touched on three sort of themes of my exhortation in his opening address this morning: that of help, that of being strengthened, and that of the world. And then we have a reading from Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. So we've got to bring all these things together into this one exhortation, but it's going to come from a fairly unexpected source in Scripture. Now, probably sounds a little bit like Leo, but there was one particular verse that intrigued me sometime early last month in our reading in Acts, and I thought, over the years when I've read that, I thought I should look into that a little bit deeper. And then finally, last time we read it, I thought, I need to do this. I need to actually look at it. And it sort of grew a little bit in my mind. And then the prompt came to do an exhort at fairly short notice. I thought, well, it's probably a good time. It's fairly fresh in people's memory, and we can learn a lot from what we're about to have a look at. It's one of these word intrigues, one of these words in Scripture that pops up and looks out of place when you read it. It has a nautical theme, which is probably not what we're thinking particularly about this time of year. It's more a summertime theme, but it fits with our recent readings. Now, this word is only used twice in Scripture, this one word. And it's the only, first time it's used, it's the only event of its type recorded in Scripture. So it sort of stands out from that basis as well. And that word is help. And we might think help, no, we see that a lot in Scripture. We've heard about it this morning, we've read about it, we've sung about it this morning even from... We look to the hills, from whence cometh my help and my salvation. But it's not, it's a slightly different word. And Strong's give the number, and the word is Boethia. And funnily enough, it's a feminine noun, which is quite appropriate because the theme we're looking at is nautical, and we think of ships as being female. And that's just an aside. But the definition is, it's specifically a rope or a chain for frapping a vessel. I thought this is strange when I first looked at it. I thought, help is strange, so I'll see what it means. And then I find out it actually means a rope or a chain. Thayers go on to say that it's first used in the book of Acts 27, so used only once, and the second time it's used is in the book of Hebrews, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the exhort. So it's first used in the book of Acts 27:17, that account of Paul's shipwreck on the island of Miletus. But before the boat hit the beach, we read in Acts 27:17, which, when they had taken up, which was the boats that the sailors were trying to escape from their fate in, they used helps, this word, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, stroke sail, and so were driven. Well, that brings into the exhort a second word I want to have a look at, and it's used only once in Scripture in this particular account, and it's the word undergirded. Now, Strong's picks up this theme of it being used to frap a vehicle, that is to run cables and chains under a boat and across the deck and tighten them as tight as you possibly can get them to hold the ship together. So this would enable it to survive a storm, and more importantly, helped keep the boat relatively intact when it hit something. So it ensured a longer life for the vessel so that the people on board it might have a better chance of escape. Now, frapping or throwing these chains or cables under the boat during a storm was a pretty hazardous thing to be doing. The boat wasn't sitting still, neither was the wind, driving rain, slippery decks, men trying to haul heavy chains, heavy cables, and I can only think they must have put them over the front of the boat, down each side, and worked it under the boat and then fastened it over the top. You try and doing that in a storm, no easy task. So there was some considerable risk to life and limb in doing this. It was a huge risk, but it was also hugely needful in the light of the danger that the whole ship and its company was in. How those on board must have prayed for an anchor to hold sound enough to prevent them being driven to destruction. And as I write that, another side story sprang to mind of a young person in a kayak in a harbour entrance who found that the current was stronger than what he had anticipated, and he was heading out through the harbour entrance toward the breaker line at great speed. So, being a boatie, he had his anchor on board and he chucked it over and it broke a fluke. It was one of these folding anchors, four flukes on it. One of them broke and he got another 40 or 50 metres before it finally turned over and held on a rock. So on an outgoing tide, he had to wait until the tide changed before he could actually come in. But that anchor saved his life for certain. He would have perished if he had hit that wave line. And that particular harbour, part of the harbour, is known for its frequency of sharks. So I can only thank the Lord that he has a future use for this young man. So even if an anchor had held for Paul's ship, what about the ship that Jonah was on? They were nowhere near land. They were out in the middle of the Mediterranean, or off the coast far enough that land wasn't a danger at that stage. So maybe they hadn't yet had to resort to helping or undergirding their ship. But their vessel was still at risk of being destroyed by the storm itself. So they heaved every material thing on that boat over the side in order to preserve life. And they wanted to preserve even Jonah's life at that stage. However, their circumstances changed quite dramatically when Jonah's God's name was invoked. And the storm was stilled when Yahweh was obeyed by Jonah and he was tossed over the side. Immediate calm. This has been part of our Bible study in Pyro that we've been trying to get through since Christmas time. We'll get there yet. We haven't finished. So there's a lot of talk about how that storm went from people being in fear of their lives to complete calm and assurance that they would be saved. And it's tied together not just by the fact that they were both in boats, Paul's and Jonah's, but by the fact that salvation came from it. They were saved physically from perishing in the sea. We know that Jonah was turned back to his commission after he was tossed into the water. Yahweh provided a great fish to actually turn him around from the direction he was going, take him back to land, spit him back out on the shore where he started from, and turned him around to go back to Nineveh. And from what we can work out from our studies in Pōro, that most, if not the whole of the ship's crew, acknowledged Yahweh at the turning of those events. And their lives were saved both physically and spiritually. So what of the soldiers and sailors on Paul's ship? Yes, the ship was eventually destroyed, or part of it, when it ran aground. But all life was preserved. Physically, at least the record tells us. But I've no doubt that once again, as in Jonah's ship, that miraculous delivery, most, if not all, of that company came to know the name of Yahweh through their deliverance from almost certain death, and then the miracles that they witnessed on the shores of Miletus in short succession after their safe, if somewhat soggy, arrival on the shore. Now, the ship, to me, is a thing of component parts. And the idea of undergirding it or frapping it was to hold all these parts together, the keel, the weakest part of the vessel, obviously when it was going to hit ground, it was going to touch first, but to try and keep the whole thing as intact as possible. So really trying to save the whole boat. As I said, the keel being the weakest part. And the undergirding was probably the last desperate act by seamen in their defence of their ship before total disaster and total loss of life. So, with the weakest part of the ship, the keel, being strengthened, the whole ship has a chance of surviving. So what does it mean to us? How is the ship Christadelphia going to fare when the storm that we can see coming arrives? We know the storm is coming. We've been talking about it for 150 plus years. So we know it's somewhat of the detail of the strength of the storm that's coming on us, of the intensity of it, of the fear of loss of life. So what are we doing to undergird our ship? What are we doing to help the weakest part of Christadelphia? If we haven't got the helps or wrapped tightly and carefully enough, our ship is going to get wrecked when that soon-to-be storm strikes. I originally thought that the ship might have been us, being a thing of component parts, that we might be part of the ship or and the crew. But I changed my mind when I realised that parts of the ship, in Jonah's case, were being tossed overboard. So it's not us. We're not being tossed out. We are instead the lives saved by remaining on the ship, even to the time it is destroyed under us. So what is this ship representative of? The Ecclesia, maybe? Not so sure about that, although I first thought that. But I'm not able to put a clear definition on it in the terms that I've talked about it so far. So I had to step a little bit sideways to think about that. And I did the comparison once again with what links Paul's vessel with that of Jonah's and even that of Noah's. I'm certain that it's not the collection of dogma and belief that makes up each of our membership in Christadelphia. Not that that is unimportant, but I believe our ship is more profound than that. So, what is it then that undergirds our relationship with Yahweh? And therein is the clue. It is our covenant relationship with Him, And I believe that's our ship. It's a covenant relationship entered only through his son. Through one door, as in the side of the ark that Noah built. His son, our Lord Jesus. As the ship separates the lives on it from death and stormy waters, so too does our covenant relationship with Yahweh separate us from certain death in this world's stormy waters. And it is only by strengthening the Ecclesia's covenant relationship, both individually and together, that we as individuals and as an Ecclesia will survive the storm that is to come. A storm such as never been seen on earth before. When we told the Spirit said to the church in Revelation 3, to the Ecclesia in Sardis, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. It applies as equally to us today as it did then, that we are to watch and to strengthen. Basically, to undergird our ship as best we can. And this brings us to the second occurrence of the word help, this one particular word in the Greek. So what do we do then to prepare? Hebrews 4:16, which uses this word again, says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help, to undergird in time of need. Surely our time of need is when storms threaten to shipwreck our faith, to destroy us in a spiritual way. We think of 1 Timothy 1, the account of holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Funny, that word pops up again. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan. We may survive some, if not all, of those storms that life throws us, and the potential shipwreck of our faith that is always a possibility. And even Paul hoped that Hymenaeus and Alexander would survive their shipwreck and be reconciled to the Ecclesia. The final storm which you are yet to face, the one that we've read about in prophecy and have understood from the words of earlier writers in Scripture, will be something that we and mankind have never faced before. Whether that storm is going to take us up to the time of judgment, I don't know. But it's very likely when we see the events depicted by Scripture at the time of our Christ's coming. Things like wars, earthquakes, Sodom and Gomorrah type fire and brimstone, trumpet shouts appearing like lightning. None of these are quiet events. They're noisy. They're threatening. We can only imagine what they're going to like when they occur pretty much all at the same time, at the time and the end. So my exhortation is to, the time is now to come boldly unto the throne of grace. We need to be undergirding our ships now, our covenant relationship with Yahweh, our faith, right now. I don't know when the next storm, maybe even that final storm, will threaten to shipwreck us. I know Paul had already undergirded his ship at the time of potential shipwreck. He was that oasis of calm and reassurance in amongst the raging of wind and waves. Not a life will be lost, he was able to say with some confidence, with every confidence in his God. I don't doubt that he was doing his part to also help physically with the undergirding of the ship, with the helps that the ship needed. But he was also providing his undergirding in a spiritual way to that crew to reassure them. He was showing them that the strength and intervention from Yahweh that he already knew was available to them all was going to happen. That it would get them through. So can we say the same thing about ourselves today, right now? Have we made Yahweh our help and Jesus Christ our salvation? So that we too can face the coming storm with confidence, like Paul did.